Hello, everyone. Welcome to our webinar today. We're very excited to talk about communities. I feel like we sound like a broken record at this point for like community, but you're going to love it. And there's a reason why we talk about it so much. So we're very excited to talk about on and off social communities. And of course, I have Jessie with me today.
I am extra excited, but also I'm a bit distracted because I see that BigMarker, the platform we use for webinars, now has a reply function in the chat, which is very needed. So I'm very excited.
Oh my gosh, that must be brand new because I swear that was not there last week. All right. So we're going to start off by rewinding back to 2022. And our biggest problem was our cost per acquisition. It was through the roof. And it really felt like month after month, we were just giving Meta money all the time. And it just wasn't sustainable. And I feel like a lot of people can relate to that. So at one point, Joe and I looked at each other and we're like, we need to fix this. This is just too much. So we decided to start investing in community. And that sounds very cool, but also what does that even mean? Because I know sometimes when we say community, it's kind of a buzzword, but then you're like, okay, what does that even actually mean? So to us, that meant that we're dedicating time, resources, and energy to building one-on-one relationships, creating better resources, and building spaces where a community could interact freely with each other. So when we first did this, our primary reason of doing it was, of course, we wanted to lower our cost per acquisition. And as you can see by this graph, it happened pretty quickly, which was very cool. But something that we didn't really expect was the other side of it, where we were actually seeing a lot more, you know, community growth on social. So here's some examples of that. And I want to shout anyone out who is on this slide that could be in this webinar today. So if you're here, thank you so much. But here are some examples of things we started to see a lot more. So we were getting a lot more people talking about us. If someone was asking about a social media scheduler, tagging us on LinkedIn if they were in our webinars. And I actually have, I was going to just call you out, Michael. We do have a screenshot of the nicest comment ever that you left in one of our webinars. You said, "This is why I love Hey Orca, because it's one of the first social media manager communities that I actually feel heard and fit into." And we're obsessed with that, and we had to screenshot it immediately. So when we at first started this just to lower our cost per acquisition, we then noticed another side of it, which was the benefit of seeing our community really show up, which was very cool.
So I will add that this isn't just a trend that we're doing at Hey Orca. This is something that a lot of people are working towards. And there's this actually a really great article from The Verge, which either Lyle or Jessica will put in the chat. And to pull two quotes from it that are super interesting, consumers crave community, but on their own terms, seeking deeper, more meaningful connections with those who truly matter. And the future of community is personal, intentional, and built on trust. So we definitely see a lot of companies moving in this direction and like the community-led growth point of view. I will say you can't just toss in the word community and be like, okay, we're done. It doesn't work like that. There's a lot of work that gets put into it that we'll actually talk about in this presentation as well. So part of it is that you actually need to be very strategic about where you pick, which community spaces you pick. So our recommendations is that you actually pick community spaces that are both open and closed. And even better is if you own your closed spaces. So I think as marketers and social media managers, we're really aware that on social media, we're really using rented space because technically a platform can go away at any moment. And TikTok, I mean, that put that into perspective a few months ago. And honestly, that could still happen. We're still waiting for the results. So if that space were to go away, how would you access your community? And that's why we're really recommending that you have both a mix of open spaces and closed spaces. So when we were back in the day trying to create community, well, rather when Alyssa and Joe were doing this, because I wasn't at Hey Orca quite yet, they went through a variety of spaces. pieces and tried to pick the best ones that would work for Heyworka. So on the open side, obviously you see a bunch of social platforms listed. It is not comprehensive. Obviously there are things like Blue Sky and more that can be added to this list, Pinterest, etc. But we decided that while we'll have a presence on each, like we'll have a profile for each platform, we're really just active on LinkedIn and Instagram and sometimes TikTok. And the reason is that we went for the quality over quantity approach. We are a small team. And so we just wanted to make sure that we were actually delivering value versus trying to like balance a bunch of different platforms. And then on the close side, again, this is not a comprehensive list, but what Alyssa and Joe decided back in the day, a Facebook group, which I hope that many of you are in. We have a newsletter, which if you subscribe to it, you see Alyssa's name in your inbox every morning. We have our webinar series. We have a Slack channel. This one's dedicated just to our stands. Local events, which actually should be pink now since we're doing a meetup soon. VIP network, and honestly, this list can go on. You could have a Substack. You can have a Discord. The list goes on. So you might want to take note, especially to the ones that I've written owned next to, which is newsletter and webinar series. And this is important because if HubSpot or BigMarker, the software we use to access this community, were to go away, that's okay. We still have those lists. We can still contact our community. We can just move them to a different software. But obviously the same doesn't exist for social platforms. The other thing I wanted to add is that these spaces should really be connected to each other. So you don't want to treat your Facebook group separately and your newsletter separately or your Instagram separately. You want to be able to connect them so that you can get the attention on one, but then move them to the other. And I think our best example of that at Heyworka is our Facebook group. So when you join our Facebook group, there's a little like form, I guess, that comes up that asks you who you are, title, and how you heard about the group. And I would say 80% of the people who heard about the group came from our newsletter, because when you join our newsletter, an automated email goes out from Alyssa that says, thank you so much for joining our newsletter. By the way, we have a Facebook group that you would probably be super interested in. And that's how we get a lot of people into the Facebook group. So what I'm saying here is make sure that you're connecting all of your spaces so that you can fully take advantage of them. One more example, because I'm kind of obsessed with this slide, is that on social, what Jessica will do is that if on Instagram, for example, she's posting about updates, like social news, she will have a carousel where the last post will say, by the way, Alyssa delivers these social news every day in the newsletter. You should really consider signing up to it. And that's how we get a lot of people organically from social onto the newsletter as well. And what this has created, oh my gosh, we have some shout outs to your newsletter, Alyssa. I love it. Oh, and the Facebook group. Oh my gosh, I need to read the chat more. But yeah, what we've noticed with having these open spaces and closed spaces and trying to connect them as much as possible is that we've really created this community-led growth flywheel. And so we're getting the attention on social, but we're keeping the attention and engaging with people off social as well, which has been super helpful for us. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so distracted by the chat. Love the newsletter. The group is useful, and I do love reading the newsletter. Oh my gosh, you guys.
loving it all.
One thing I should add, and I did bring this up very briefly before, and again, this is in the Verge article that we talked about earlier, which is that brands and platforms will weaponize a terms in a bid to capture the attention of ideal audiences. What I realized in this slide is I forgot to put the word community, but brands and platforms will weaponize the word community because of this trend going towards community-led growth and community-led marketing. Again, you can't just slap on the word community to your previous audience, be like, okay, I'm done. Our community is set. You do need to put in the work, and that's where value comes from. So why should someone follow you, engage with you, join your open spaces, join your closed spaces? How are you impacting them? And of course, this comes from anything like education, entertainment, inspiration, advocacy, promotion. Okay, so let me give you an example. that I don't like. I feel a little negative saying this, but I have found that there are some retail stores, like clothing stores, that I love their social. I just want to like eat it up. I'm so excited to see how they style things and what who they're working with, etc. So I'm like, okay, if I like their social, maybe I'm going to try to join their newsletter. But when I join their newsletter, all I get is constant sales, like buy this, new shirt in, new pants in. I'm like, okay, I see that this email or this newsletter I've signed up for is really just to convert me. I'm not that interested anymore. And I leave it. So when you're having your open and closed spaces, please provide value across all of them. And okay, I'm seeing so much hype for the newsletter, which actually is a really great segue to our next slide.
Perfect segue. And okay, yes, shout out to everyone in the chat who is talking about the newsletter. I love it. And a lot of you know what it is already. So I'm going to give just a little backstory about it, and I'll go into it a little bit into detail just in case you aren't quite sure what the newsletter is. So pretty much I have a newsletter that goes out every Monday to Friday. And if you're not on the newsletter, you're probably thinking that is a ton of emails. And I agree with you. When Joe and I first thought about this, I was so worried people would immediately think I was annoying and they don't want to see me pop up in their inbox every day. So I was a little nervous. But something that we learned is that if we're going to send an email every Monday to Friday, like Jesse was just saying, it needs to be valuable. So the community needs to know that if they open it, they're going to learn something about it. They're going to learn something new, whether that be a new social update, maybe a resource, and they can just quickly get that information. So my biggest piece of advice is, like Jesse said, make sure you're sending something that's actually valuable that people want to read, because then they actually will open up the email every day. And so we've noticed that sometimes our emails will get 60% or higher. Some have even reached 70%, which is crazy. So that's just because of sending value. Because I've been a part of daily newsletters in the past that I sometimes just stop opening, because if I don't really get anything out of it for a few days, it kind of makes me want to just not open it. So that's something that I've learned is, yes, you just need to provide value. So if you're not on the newsletter, I'll give you a very quick recap of what's on it. But pretty much every day you can get social news. There is video trends. Shout out Jessica, our social media manager, who finds those. We'll send resources, our webinars. But then through that, we do sprinkle in a little bit of Heyworka through it as well. So you can see at the very top, we do have links to book a trial. Or if you want a demo with one of our account managers, you can do that from the very top of the email. If there's any feature updates, they'll be at the very top. And if there's nothing new, there is a Heyworka section in the middle that will highlight a feature that you may not know about. And then at the end, we have additional links as well that can kind of go out to other things Heyworka related. So we do sprinkle stuff about ourselves through it, but we know that people don't want to open it every day and just hear about us. They want to learn about other things as well, about the industry. So that's how we have found, you know, the perfect balance of sending a newsletter every day, but making sure people actually want to read it. So that's a little behind the scenes of what that looks like.
Cool. Okay. So if you're like, Jesse, Alyssa, I get it. I need to create a community and not just change the word audience to community and call it a day, but you don't know where to start, we have the perfect resource for you. We have something called the Community Building Canvas. And what it is basically like 7 questions, really, that you need to be able to answer to create a successful community. It's modeled off of Steve Blank's business model canvas, if you've ever heard of that one. I'm not going to go through it really in depth. Either Lyle or Jessica will drop the link in the chat if you want to read more. But really, what you need to know is, why are you building a community? What is the purpose? What is your shared identity? So what is your identity as a brand or a freelancer or whatever you are? And what is the identity of the people you're trying to attract into your community? What value are you giving them? We had a whole slide about that. You want to make sure that consistently you're providing value across all different platforms. What does success look like? And this could look differently for everyone. Success for us is ultimately becoming Heyworka customers, but we have everything from just being known about social media managers all the way up to like Heyworka users. But for you, for example, it could be people using your service or people volunteering for your service, whatever that might be. Experience and roles. What is the current community experience? How do you differentiate between someone who just is a lurker, basically, and how do you differentiate from people who are your most engaged followers? There's engagement. Of course, we want everyone in your community to be so well engaged and very excited, but you know, trolls exist, unfortunately. So how are you going to deal with them versus some of your most engaged community members? And then spaces. Again, please, please, please open spaces, close spaces, and also own spaces so that you're able to always have access to your community members.
Love it. And I want to shout out Jen, who said she has filled this out and it's very eye-opening. So we wanted to give a few more tips when building your community, whether that be on social or off social. I would say the biggest thing to remember is that your community should be the main character. And I think we can all relate to seeing brands who are constantly giving product to just influencers that maybe have never even tried their product, might not even actually like it, instead of picking people in their community who have been buying their product for a really long time and are already hyping it up. So we want to remember that the people in our community, that's the main character when we're creating content for them. So I wanted to shout out a few ways that we've involved our community, and then we'll go into some other brands that have done a really good job as well. And shout out Jen, because I'm about to talk about you in this, and I know she's here. But first, we love to invite our community members to be a guest on our webinars. So we did have one of our Heyworka stands, Kalina, on. We've had many stands on. Jen has been on before. So if there's, you know, a topic that someone in our community really loves to talk about, we want to spotlight them on a webinar and get them teaching everyone about it. Another way is that we want to treat our most engaged members as influencers. So Jen, shout out Jen. She is a part of our Heyworka stands community, and she has gotten the most points in that community. She's the best. So we thought, you know what, we need to bring Jen to the Social East conference in Halifax. So Jen flew in, went to the conference, met some of our team members, toured around Halifax. It was really fun. And it was great to give Jen this opportunity because she is one of our biggest fans and she deserves to have that opportunity. So that was really fun to do. And then we also like to celebrate our community's personal and professional successes. So the other image you'll see there, that's Natalie, one of our customers, and she had twins. So we sent her some onesies with Heyworka on it. They're very cute. So anytime we see anything on LinkedIn or someone's having a milestone that's coming up, we try to do something for them that's special. So those are some things that we have been trying. Now, I do want to show a few other ways brands have involved their community. So I'm sure everyone's aware of the dating app Hinge. So something I think is so cool about them is that they actually haven't posted on Instagram since 2020. But yet we all know what this is. And it's because they use real couples who met on Hinge and have had successful relationships, and they get them to talk about it. So they'll either get them to talk about it on their own platform, in an ad, in a blog of some sort. So they're just pretty much getting their own community to do the promo for them. And that looks great because if someone's, you know, looking for a relationship, they want to hear the stories of success from the app. So very cool that they're not even active on Instagram, but they are everywhere. And I, you know, it's fun to hear real stories of people using the app. So that's really cool. Another one is Jolin Clothing involves their community in picking designs for their swimwear and their other clothing. And that is very cool. Also, if you go to their Instagram, they like pretty much their whole feed is just like UGC, like people wearing their clothing, their bathing suits. It's amazing. And I love when I go to a company's social media and that's what I see, because that's what you want to see. You want to see how, you know, real people are using the product. So we love that. And then another example is Arctic Fox hair color. This is another one that if you go to their Instagram, you're just going to see a bunch of UGC. So you're just going to see people using their product, which is awesome for hair color, because you want to see how it looks when someone's actually using it themselves. So this is the perfect approach, because then it looks so good on everyone. So then that's going to make me want to buy it. So we love that. And then a newsletter example. I don't know if anyone is subscribed to The Daily Good. It's by Good Trade. So this is another daily newsletter that I love this newsletter. I actually do open it every day. And there's a little bit of something for everyone in it. But something that I love is that they always ask a question. It could be a random question about like, what skincare are you using? Respond to this email. And then the next day, they'll choose someone who answered that question and then put it in the email. So they're constantly trying to, you know, highlight their community. They do a lot of community roundtables as well, just to like learn more about who's reading their newsletters. So it's a very good one if you want to check it out. Let me check the chat here. I'm so impressed with that bright green color. It is very impressive. Yes, Rode also gets a lot of UGC as well. It did make me buy it, not going to lie. And I love it. So love that. And so our next tip also, and this kind of ties in to, oh, I thought I was just going to sneeze. This ties into what we were just talking about, is you need to just show up as human, which is kind of what we were just saying in the past slides. So instead of just constantly, maybe you're just constantly talking about your product, which is nice, but you want to have a human spin to it, because that's just going to make people relate to your content. So we have some more fun examples. So first I want to shout out Jessica. As you can see on the screen, she is our social media manager. If you've checked out our social, you've probably seen her videos, and she does an amazing job at really relating to social media managers and some of the struggles that they go through every day. So this specific video was talking about all the different hats social media managers wear. Very relatable. Everyone can relate to that. So that's what I love about Jessica's videos, is they always relate to something you have been through, which is great, because then it makes me want to send it to my friends, save it, all of that. Next is Stats Canada. So if anyone follows Stats Canada, which you may not, because you're probably like, why would I follow Stats Canada? They actually do a really good job on social, and you should check them out, but they do a really good job at tapping into whatever's relevant in pop culture. So when Taylor Swift was doing her Eras tour and she had a few stops in Canada, they tapped into that. And I think they were showing stats about the positive impact of her coming to Toronto had on the city. So, okay, yeah, which is very cool, because everyone loves Taylor Swift and they love seeing those stats. So it was a good way to tap into pop culture while also relating back to who they are and what their company is.
I think Stats Canada, their Taylor Swift post might have been their like most viral post ever, which shout out to that team.
Yes. If anyone from that team is here, we'd love to talk to you. Also, I would love to get someone from their team on a webinar one day. They're amazing. So if anyone knows them, let me know. So the next one, so if you're on TikTok, you may actually know these next two. So the first one is Strawberry Milk Mob. This is a swimwear company, and I've come across them, and I think they're so cool. So pretty much they started on TikTok, very product focused. So they would show their swimsuits in like a very product-y way. And it just wasn't really working for them. They weren't growing. So then it's run by three sisters. So one of the sisters just kind of took control of it and then just started to show her life. She'll show her going out for dinner, which is not really related to bathing suits, but it's making you really want to get to know her. She shows her sisters a lot, and it makes you feel like you're friends with them. And then they sprinkle in some content about their bathing suits, but it's worked so well for them that now they have over 2 million followers. So worked very well for them. And then the last one is the brand Sheerlux. I always see their videos, but they really highlight their employees a lot. It's pretty much all their employees just talking about the fashion that they're wearing, products that they're buying. So I love that they're bringing their employees in as the main characters, which is really cool. So let me know if you look at any of these or if you have any other suggestions of ones. Let me know in the chat.
We have a fan of Stats Canada. Jenna said this. Jenna, if you know them, please hook us up.
We've been trying to get in contact. I would love to have them on a webinar because I think they're very good at what they do. But yes, those are some examples, but there's so many brands that are doing this and tapping into that human element and really tapping into their community. So we love to see it.
Nice. And our last tip is to adopt an experimentation mindset. Treat every piece of content like a data point. I think as marketers, we all know that. Like, we know that sometimes things aren't going to hit as hard as we wish, even if we spend hours. But really, it's just what you learn from it. That's key here. And this is like, okay, as I said, we all know that, you know, sometimes content doesn't do that well, but it does hurt your feelings every so often, especially if you've spent hours creating content and, you know, you're stuck in 200 views jail. But just try to learn from it. So, and this is something that happens to all of us, including Heyorka. So we've had some content flop, and it's always my videos, as you can see from the left side. But we've also had a lot of content do really, really well. Shout out Jessica again for her content. So it's really just what you learn from it. Again, things can... things can go well and you can learn from it. Things can go poorly and you learn from it. The other thing is that don't try to analyze your posts in the same way if they're a top of funnel content versus a bottom of funnel. So for example, if you have a piece of content that is really, really product specific, you're probably looking at a more niche audience here, and you shouldn't expect the same amount of views or reach that something that is more top of funnel focus would see. Try to take that out of your brain, and that will help you better understand what's doing well and what's not. So I guess as an example, at Heyorka, our more product focused content seems to get, I would say, maybe like 20 to 60 likes generally, but then our more top of funnel content could be anywhere like 400 and plus. So, but that's expected because, you know, the funnel goes in for a reason with this type of content. And so, yeah, if I can leave you with one statement as a takeaway from this webinar, I really want 2025 to be the year that you all create valuable and authentic spaces for your community. And don't forget, you can't just slap on the word community and be like, okay, done. I did the work. There needs to be a lot more value that gets added in there for you to be successful. And we're not perfect at Heyorka. This is a work in progress every day that we're working on. Yeah, this is very much a trend that we want you all to be aware of. Actually, not even a trend, a movement, a community movement that I want you all to be aware of and applying to your own brands as well. Sorry, I'm just reading the comments, Michael. I did a video for a client last year that went viral with over 2.6 million views. Holy cow, congrats. I reposted on Wednesday and it had over 3,000 views on Instagram Reels. I can't figure it out as it's just eggs being crushed in an agricultural separator. 2.6 million views, absolutely crazy. Really, really great job there. In terms of why I might not be working on Reels, it's hard to know with this information, but I have always considered, like, if I just delete it and repost it, will I get more views? I don't know. That's always my go-to reply. But I don't know, Alyssa, if you have another recommendation here.
And I sometimes think it's weird with content because something can do okay on Reels, but then like take off on TikTok. It's so random about it. So if it's not getting as much views on Reels, maybe it's just not meant for Reels and it should be somewhere else. But it can be really annoying when that happens because you're like, it took off over here. So why is it not taking off on this app? So sometimes, unfortunately, some things do well on one platform and then not the other. I find sometimes with Reels that happens. Yeah, it must be something with the algorithm. I'm not sure. It changes all the time.
I also love that Jessica pitched in. Yeah, it's so hard to say with different platforms. Completely agree there. Okay, we have a question from Maya, which is, do you have any tips for getting people to interact within the community spaces? We have a Facebook group and people join, but when we make posts, they don't interact, even if we ask them to share their thoughts or prompt to respond.
Alyssa. I know this all too well. So when we first created our Facebook group, I am saying, like, I would say stuff all the time and literally no one would respond. I would ask questions and no one would even like the post. And so it can feel like, okay, it's like I'm talking to nobody. But something to remember with a Facebook group is like 90% of those people are probably just going to read it and not actually comment on it. And I found as a Facebook group grows, then you're going to start to see engagement. But the thing is, it does take a while to build that. So that's the only thing that's kind of sad about it, is it does take a while. But one thing I found that did help while we were trying to grow it and get people participating is, one, putting some sort of controversial topic up, which obviously you want to do this in a way that's like not going to cause problems. But like for social, for example, if there was an algorithm change on Instagram, I'll post that because I know people are going to be, you know, either really happy about it or really mad about it, and they'll want to comment. So obviously you want to pick and choose which controversial topics you're going to put in it, but that can help. Second is using polls. I found using a poll instead of me just asking a question was a lot easier because it took someone 2 seconds to participate rather than having to write a comment. So polls can also really help, but my biggest thing is that it will just take a while, unfortunately, to get engagement in a Facebook group.
I just want to add for the poll, like what Alyssa said about polls, as she said, making it as easy as possible for someone to participate without doing or with very little work is key. And that's even what we find on our Instagram stories. Like if we put up one of those, ask us a question, it's really just the internal team that asks questions. But if we put up a poll, that's where we start to see a lot of engagement. So just as easy as possible, I think helps there.
I also want to give a quick shout out to our upcoming webinars. We have a few webinars coming up, and the next one next week we have Mary, who works for Calgary Library, coming, and she's going to talk about digital crisis management. And I just want to preface this by saying it's going to be really good. She has a really, really good story. Jesse actually saw her speak about this before, and it is, I don't want to give anything away, but it's very good, and some people even teared up about it.
I will say it was a crisis. Like it was a very big crisis that she had to work on with her team. So definitely come see it.
Awesome. Well, that's everything for today. I hope you enjoyed the webinar, and maybe we will see you next week.